Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Things Therapy. And hello there, Facebook Live. This is my first Facebook Live. You should see Johnny Mace, my guest, which I'm going to introduce in just a moment. I am Lisa Tahir, your host, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker practicing as an intuitive psychotherapist. You can find me online at, nolatherapy.com, NOLATHERAPY.com. That's how you can reach out to meet with me in person in Los Angeles or New Orleans, as well as phone, Skype, or FaceTime sessions wherever you are. And I would love to capture your email address so I can let you know about my book coming out in 2019 titled The Chiron Effect. It's about healing your core wounds through empathy and self-forgiveness. And I'm building my email list right now. So as things develop, I'll be able to send you information and articles and such so you can help yourself feel better. I think that's about it. Let's jump into Johnny since you're here with us today.
Hello.
So, hey, I am with Johnny Mace. He is a songwriter and musician from Pasadena, California. We had the pleasure of meeting spontaneously at one of his live performances here in Los Angeles. So I asked you to come on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. And what I was really taken back by, in a good way, was your voice and just the depth of your lyrics and the emotion in your songs. And I know you're going to talk to us some about how your upbringing has affected your songwriting and being bullied when you were younger and finding healing and voice through music.
Yeah.
So I want our listeners to know that you can find Johnny Mace. His EP is on
Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes.
Yes. And it's Johnny Mace Music on Twitter, Instagram, and on YouTube. Johnny Mace is how I found you. So where would you like to start us today?
I guess we can start with where I was born. So I was born in Glendale, I guess you could say, like on the birth certificate it says Glendale.
Okay.
But Verdugo Hills Hospital.
Okay.
Dr. Hartford, I remember. I'm planning on when I turn 21, I'm going to go to Dr. Hartford and ask him for drinks, and that would just be a fun reunion.
Okay, that's funny. You know, I know the doctor that birthed me also. I still see him in New Orleans.
You see him?
Yeah, I do. I see him at my gym. And it's crazy. Here I'm 47, seeing the man that had me like pop out of my mom.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I have met him another time. I think I was like 15. But yeah, it'd be funny. I bet he gets that all the time.
I bet.
But yeah.
I bet.
But yeah, so I was born in that area, and I was raised in Pasadena. I was also raised in Claremont for a year. So like from birth till like I was one. And because my biological dad and mom had me, and they didn't marry, so they had me when they were just dating.
Okay.
And they moved into the Claremont house with my stepbrother. So my family's pretty confusing. It's a big mixed family.
Okay.
So I have like I have stepbrothers and sisters. Oh, sorry, my half brother. My half brother Sebastian.
Okay.
So and his dad and my dad are both named Chris. So to make it even more confusing.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, we moved into that house in Claremont, and I have two memories from then. I try to hold on to them.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember at a young age, I think it was my mom, she'd always say, like, hold on to these memories because they're very precious. So I still remember these two, like, memories from the Claremont house. One was in my closet. Oh, no, my brother's closet. It was a walk-in closet of his room, and that's where my crib was.
Wow.
And, yeah, I went in there when I was 12, and it was a lot smaller, definitely.
Sure.
Yeah, but I still have this dream of being in the crib and the crib walls being very tall. And the room felt so elongated, and I still remember it from that view of a baby. And I remember it's like a couple seconds of my dad saying, "Good night, John," and turning off the light and closing the door. That's one. Another, I'm just like chilling on the counter in the sink and my mom's just like pacing on the phone, just back and forth. But yeah, I just remember those two memories of the Claremont house.
Wow, from being so young. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
So how did you find music? At what age? I don't know any of this about you since I saw you.
So I moved from, when they split, I moved to Pasadena. Mm-hmm. And I think my mom met my stepdad at work. She worked at this place called Public Works for design. She graduated from Art Center College of Design.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, for graphic design. And she met my stepdad, Mitch, there. And he needed help with rent at the time. Mm-hmm. And she needed a place to stay. So it was a perfect situation. We had a big, I still live in the same place.
Wow.
Yeah, after like 20 years, 19 years. And so they built a back house for us, for my brother, me, and my mom. And she helped with rent. And they started off as just friends. And they were friends for years and years and years till they got married.
Wow, that's an amazing love story.
Yeah.
Wow. Does that find reference in any of your songs?
Yeah, definitely. And music came into this because my stepdad was, he was in many bands when he was younger, and he was also in the music business. Right now, he's been going on tour managing a band called the Glam Skanks.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're on tour with Adam Ant.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. So you grew up around music and in the industry.
Yeah, we would always go to a bunch of ska shows late in the night. I always loved that.
What a cool childhood.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the best. He would show us. We would always get backstage passes to these shows too, so it was my end to music, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how, I know you shared some with me about bullying being a part of when you were younger.
Yes.
Can you talk to us about that?
Bullying was a part of most of my life. I still remember preschool. My first two bullies. They looked like the bullies from Little Rascals. I loved that. That show, by the way.
Yes, yes.
I used to always want to be Alfalfa and sing like he did.
Yes.
With his little mm-hmm. strand of hair. But yeah, I remember those two bullies like very well. And I remember all my bullies very well. I was bullied from preschool all the way to like mildly to like 11th grade. But
wow.
Yeah, but later on is when I got a growth spurt, so that was probably why they stopped. Me just like, because I'm 6 foot, so maybe that height, I don't know, stopped them from bullying. Also, plus their maturity grew,
right.
Finally.
How did you make sense of that, being bullied for that many years?
It was hard, because at first I thought it was because I went to 3 different schools, so for everyone, transitioning to a school is difficult,
yeah.
Because their class is already, like, they already have their group of friends, mm-hmm. So this new person comes in. It's very difficult. But then I would see other new kids come in, and they would be accepted immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But I still wasn't accepted. And I think it was just because I was different. I am an artist.
Yeah.
So, like, I do see the world differently. I was also very hyperactive and a total ADHD child.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I want to loop back around later to about being an artist and how you mm-hmm. view the world. Yet when you were those ages, I'm thinking it's hard to know when you're experiencing something like being bullied that you're
yeah.
different or connect the dots. And I imagine it was a painful or difficult experience.
Yeah, you take it personal.
Right.
Yeah.
Could you talk to your parents or your,
yeah.
your brother?
Like? Of course, it went through phases, like where I would, at first it was the phase of like telling my parents everything.
Yeah.
And then it's like they would try to comfort me and all this stuff the best they could, but it wouldn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also I would get that title of like, oh, tattletale, you know?
Oh,
like you
gosh.
Always, yeah,
yeah,
everyone hates that. To
yes.
Me, like, yeah. So
the role of music in mm-hmm. those years, can you tell us how you, what, I don't, what
it was like,
you play?
It was my escape, definitely.
Okay, yeah.
It was an escape. And it was an escape from bullying. And it was something I loved at a very young age. Ever since I was in preschool, I would dress up like Frank Sinatra and sing like Chicago and New York.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love all the oldies. But
so
yeah.
So you would dress up and perform.
Yeah, I always love to perform. Yeah. I love getting emotions from people. That's probably why I was given that title, like, oh, you're so annoying and all this stuff, because I was so hyperactive. I wanted to engage with people. Like, I love people. I'd love to engage with people.
Yeah.
So they were just, I was different and outgoing, and they weren't used to that.
Right. Yeah. And usually when people face difference, as we know, they might judge it, attack it, instead of seek to understand it.
Yeah, in fear, kind of.
Yes,
in fear. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a defense.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What was your first instrument that you played?
Other than my vocals, because I was always singing.
Okay.
I was always banging on everything, so drums. I was probably 8 when I got my Uncle Daniel's hand-me-down drum set, which I totally thrashed.
I bet.
It was also like an anger management coping, like from all the bullying. It was like my way to just let all my emotion out. Mm-hmm. And but then it turned into a skill because I love music. And I'm like, well, I can just use this to my advantage. And after thrashing that first drum set, when I was 9, my parents surprised me on my birthday. Everyone was in my room, too. We just picked up my friend, and it was just going to be like me and my friend hanging out. But I go to my room, you know, to put my things away, and everyone is in my room, friends, family, and they're like, surprise, scared me half to death.
Totally. Like, what?
But they had this new, like, jazz drum set. It was very nice. So, of course, I didn't really put my anger out on that because I'm like, all right, now I really got to learn this, and I take my time to practice. And I could say, out of all the instruments that I have played, I can say that I'm a drummer.
Okay.
Definitely. Okay. Because I play guitar, but I can't, like, I'm not a guitar player, you know? I use it to write songs, and I'm not really good with theory when it comes to guitar.
Okay.
But drums, I can like, play with basically anyone and just hop on the drums, basically.
That's cool. Were you formerly trained?
At first, I was self-taught.
Okay.
And I picked it up pretty easily. And then I had a few drum teachers. First one, it was like for like one time, and I was like, oh, I don't like this. And then the second one, he was actually a family friend of Mitch's. And he worked in the music industry, and his name is Rob Clennell. And he is a really good drummer and just a really good friend, and he could just like really vibe with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a great teacher. But that was the time where discipline really wasn't my thing. I was a kid.
I think for most kids, it's
yeah,
not.
And so I think that it was great. He would teach me like these drum fills and everything, but he knew there was a time where it just needed to end and for me to just like have my own way of doing it. But I was mostly self-taught.
It sounds like your family was supportive.
Very supportive of my music.
Like with everyone getting in there to get you the drum set and be in your room and supporting you, it sounds like it was, like your music was encouraged
definitely.
To thrive.
Yeah, it was not that family where you got to be a doctor, you got to be a lawyer. It's whatever your heart desires, like reach for your dreams, like follow your dreams.
Do you think that was, did you like that?
I love that.
Okay.
My parents are great.
Cool.
Yeah. And I was very glad I had that. Especially, it's a great balance to have, especially what's happening, like, at school. Like, but yeah. That was great.
So, do you want to play something? Do you want to...
Yes. So, first, I would like to talk about, other than bullying, I had other inspirations that helped me through music. And, of course, I started songwriting through a girl, of course.
Okay,
I met a girl.
Yes.
It's always a girl.
Always.
Yeah, or a boy. and this girl, I forgot her name, but I remember everything about, I'm really bad with names.
Okay.
But I remember everything about her. She had blue eyes. So the song is called Sky Blue Eyes. And it went, you have sky blue eyes and a shiny bright heart with lips so fine. Where can I start? The way I know, I can plainly see this beautiful girl right in front of me. You got sky blue eyes and gorgeous hair. Life without you just wouldn't be fair. It ain't about your eyes, it's about your soul. And yours is the purest one I know. And it was with...
That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it was with the first two chords I learned, which was D and A. And And I just like went back and forth between those two chords. But she, I wouldn't call it love, but that, because it was a young age, it was considered puppy love.
Right.
But it was considered that first like love feeling of love that inspired me to write.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a guitar in third grade, and this was fourth grade. And the reason why I didn't really play the guitar before that, because it hurt. I mean, and it was a full-size guitar.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't have any calluses or anything yet. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. It hurts. But then I got this feeling to need to write songs. And I'm like, well, how do I write songs if I don't play guitar? So it kind of forced me to play guitar.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was just kind of that jump for me. Yeah.
And that makes so much sense. It's somebody that, regardless of your age, that you still have the capacity to feel deep emotion as a young person.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's cool that you put it together at that age.
Yeah,
started
definitely.
Started songwriting.
Yeah, and I sang it for her, I remember.
Do you remember what she said?
She loved it. I remember we made these cute little plans to, like, go to the same school, because I was only there for half of fourth grade, and I went to Highland Hall after that. And I remember we made this little plan. We're both going to go there. And because she was a grade below me. But that was so cute and fun.
So cute.
Yeah. But then just like all these other relationships, my songwriting got better and more metaphorical. So Sky Blue Eyes is very physical. It talks about her eyes, her gorgeous hair, her lips, just all these physical things. But then it turned into more like emotional and metaphors.
Okay.
Yeah, I started to like dive into that. But yeah, I'll play you a song from, let's hope it's not muted. Is it muted?
No. Okay. I'm going to mute myself, though.
Okay. So this is a song about growing up, about my parents, my biological parents, so my dad and my mom, and my relationship between them. And this is on my EP that is out on Spotify and all those streaming services. And it's my favorite one on the EP. It's called From East to West. And I got the idea from watching clouds moving from east to west. I just thought of, like, how time passes, you know?
Beautiful.
Like, so fast, you know?
Yeah.
All the time just went by. And yeah. So I was thinking about my parents. So the first two verses, I'll just play and talk about it after. So this is From East to West.
Small closet was once a room. Blurred visions from a different view. His voice rang like a distant tune. Good night, my son, I'll see you soon. Warm hands that guided me. Silhouette was hard to see. Had to shield my eyes, for the sun was mean. God knows I miss routine. And I wish I could live one more day. As if nothing has changed, I wanna climb into your arms. Read me a book as I watch the stars. It catches my eye as clouds in the sky move east to west. I start to think of time and how it flies by. How it flies by. Going the distance to visit you. Though these moments are but a few. My soul is filled with a brighter hue. Goodbye, my father, I'll see you soon. Cold nights, I wait for thee. And headlights that set me free. Though we are close, there's an in-between. But you still find time for our routine. And I wish I could live one more day as if nothing has changed. Wanna climb into your arms, read me a book as I watch the stars. It catches my eye when clouds in the sky move east to west. I start to think of time and how it flies by. And how it flies by. Oh, oh. And how it flies by.
So yeah,
that was awesome,
thank
Donnie.
You.
Thank
so,
you
yeah.
for playing that.
Yeah, so it's basically like the correlation between my mom and dad of how our relationship was versus how it is now. So the first verse is about me and my dad. You know, when I talked about
in the crib, in the closet,
yeah. And then the second verse is about my mom and how she would walk me to school, and it was like our routine. So in my view, it was like. I said the sun was mean because it was shining down on me, and her silhouette was hard to see because the sun was beating down against her, and I'm looking up, holding her hand and looking up at her. So that was like my view.
Yes.
So that was like what we used to do. And then the third and fourth verse, the third one is about me visiting my dad and then saying goodbye to him instead of him saying goodnight to me, because like I would have to go home because I have to like go to Bakersfield to visit him, or Riverside where he used to live.
So, how far was that?
It was pretty. I mean, I live in Pasadena. He used to live in Riverside, and now he lives in Bakersfield, which is like 2 hours away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I barely get to see him.
Just the nostalgia. That's what I loved about your lyrics when I heard you, not knowing all this detailed background, but I think it's references time passing that.
Yeah.
That we all relate to in a visceral and emotional way.
Yeah, definitely.
That I really like in your music.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
But yeah.
So what about influences?
Influences. So I'd have to say like people in my life, like usually people, their influences, like I have some famous people that are influences.
Sure.
But mostly it was like people in my life, like my stepdad Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
He played the guitar, and he just showed me all these people and all these musicians, like, invited to the house, and just who I got to meet and be around. And it was just, like, all these people I met face-to-face that were, like, influences to me. And yeah, it was people like that. But there were some famous people that I knew growing up, like, in school. Melissa Etheridge, her kids went to my school. One was in my class. His name is Beckett.
Okay.
Beckett. And we had this thing at our school called Hollapalooza. And you had to audition for it,
okay.
of course. And it was, like, to raise money for the school. And for the first Hollapalooza, there's two. The first Hollapalooza, I played drums, and we did the song Iris by Goo Goo Dolls. I love that song.
Yeah.
And she sang with one of the seniors, Connor Grant, and she sang with him. Mm-hmm. And it was like a back and forth kind of like duet thing.
That's
of Iris.
Awesome.
Yeah. She has such a great voice. Yeah. But yeah, like she was an inspiration. She was so nice. She's mm-hmm. such a nice person. And so she was a big inspiration. Who else? There's just so many people that I would just meet through people I knew. It's all about people that you know.
It is.
In this industry, definitely.
Even imagining your childhood and that your stepdad Mitch in the music industry, that music was just a part of your life every day.
Definitely.
And going to concerts, probably younger than most,
just used to. Well, most of us. They were more like small shows, like in Hollywood.
So cool.
I've been to one concert, and it was an Adam Ant concert, and it was like, it was like a couple months ago. It was like my first concert.
Okay.
But
that was natural. That was normal for you to be with musicians.
Going to Hollywood. And just,
that's so cool.
Yeah. It was just like that. It was just embedded in me. It was just like something normal, but it wasn't.
So how did you handle going to school and writing songs and recording music? How did this EP come about that you've released?
Bruce Witkin is a really good friend of Mitch. They grew up together. They had a couple bands together. And he has a record label called Unison Music. And he has people like the White Buffalo and the Glam Skanks are part of that label. And since we're like family friends and I grew up and we'd always jam and all that stuff, he helped me record this. And we recorded it in one day. So like Shining Star... of course, I love the song. It's about bullying. It's about my experience and my mom telling me that I'm like a shining star. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And of course, like, I love that song. But the way, like, I wanted it, because I'm like a perfectionist, since we did all of these songs raw with only mics in one day, there's, of course, little things I always wanted to change, but I needed to get my music out there.
Yes.
And, of course, he was very nice. And the sound quality is great. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing myself for the first time with that very expensive, like, microphone, and just, I'm like, wow, that's me. Like,
yes.
That's me through this. But yeah, it was definitely an experience, and he helped me out with that. Again, people that you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a quick commercial and come right back in a minute.
All right.
Indeed, listening is the new reading. With Audible, you can listen to an unlimited amount of books at home, in your car, at the gym, anywhere on the go. With over 180,000 audiobooks to choose from, for you, the listener of all things therapy, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download and a month-long subscription for you to try them out. Visit audibletrial.com/allthingstherapy now. And enjoy.
Do you want to help yourself and friends find a purpose in life?
Then you are in the right place and be a part of the crowdfunding campaign of patreon.com/allthingstherapy
with Lisa Tahir as she initiates a one-on interaction with inspiring authors, healing experts, and spiritual directors. Join the League of Heroes of this generation by contributing your quota between $1 up to $100 per month at patreon.com/allthingstherapy. And let's make the world free of suicide, poverty, depression, and in all, make the world a better place for everyone.
Welcome back. I'm with songwriter and musician Johnny Mace.
Hello.
Live in the studio. So, Johnny, what are other things important to you going on in addition to music? We've been talking about your music this first half of the show.
Yeah, so I am very artistic, so other than music and that form of art, I love drawing, I love painting. I did sculpting in school. That was very fun.
What kind of sculpting?
We did like little animals and shapes, and I made a clay bust, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
A human bust.
Yeah.
Oh, that's detailed.
Yeah, I modeled it off of this like male French model dude. And it was great. It was a great experience. It's very meditative.
Definitely.
Just the teacher, we weren't allowed to, but the teacher let us listen to music, and we would listen to music and just sculpt, and it was just like the most meditating thing.
I think that's a natural part of creating, especially art with your hands, is music, to just let your mind go and, no phone, like just be with your material and create.
Yeah, just let it happen.
Yeah, I'm an artist also. I'm a glass sculptor.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
And a welder. And so my studio's in New Orleans out of Tulane University.
Oh my gosh,
and so
that's awesome.
Thank you. That's part of why I still go back to New Orleans. I love being in the studio, I have welding equipment, I have a wood shop, but I predominantly work in cast glass and some metal. But a lot of times that involves making models out of styrofoam or steel in a scrapyard that I'll just cut and polish into something that then I fit with glass. And just, I've started doing these large collages with wood and plaster and rusting the plaster. So really industrial references.
That's
a lot
awesome.
Of graphite. Thank you. So I know what it is like to just let yourself go. And it's like church for me to go and make things.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like a spiritual experience.
Definitely. What are your favorite things to make with glass?
I love casting glass into steel molds and making what I call memory impressions. Mm. So it's a square piece with a divot that I make the divot with an oxyacetylene cap. It goes on an oxyacetylene, like when you weld, there's oxygen tanks and propane tanks.
Oh, yeah.
So the divot represents our memories, since I'm a psychotherapist. And I've made thousands and thousands of them. And I have them on the walls in my house, like in patterns. I've sold them, I've given them as gifts. So to me, they represent all of the memory imprints that we store up from birth, from past lives, whatever you believe, throughout our lifetime.
That is so cool.
And so I never get sick of making them. I've made literally thousands. And so that's kind of my thing.
That is so cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. But other than art, writing as in general. So I'm a songwriter, but I like to write poetry. And I'm also writing a book right now.
Okay, tell us about that.
Okay.
So exciting.
Yeah, so it's called Things We Do.
Okay.
And I wanted this book to be fun and really unique to who I am and who I am as a person. I love to go off on tangents. My mind is just like so busy with all these thoughts. And I kind of wanted that to be like in the form of a book.
Yeah.
So it's called Things We Do. It's kind of one of those books that hopefully people can relate to in certain situations of like what they're thinking. And so like I'll just name some of the I'll name some of the chapters. Like the first one is just like a random whatever popped into my head at the moment. Notifications. So I basically talk about like good and the bad notifications that you get. So I just talk about like things that people can relate to. And it's one of those books where you can start from any chapter.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah. So it's fun. So like you can look at the topic and be like, oh,
wow.
I want to see what his thoughts are on this topic.
I love that, Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll say the prologue.
Okay,
and
then
let me know if you think you'd read it after.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Here's the prologue. Ever do things and wonder if others do the same? Or even just think them and wonder how stupid or interesting your thoughts might be and potentially share them with hundreds or even thousands of other strange individuals like yourself? Well, you've come to the right place. I happen to be one of those few who sit and ponder life's ever-changing questions, like, do people pull out their laptops at a coffee shop because everyone else does? Or are they using the free Wi-Fi to listen to a random jazz station on Spotify? Probably. Who knows? To be quite honest, I pulled out my laptop to make myself seem less awkward sitting by myself in the corner. I opened Spotify to escape being the awkward guy that everyone knows isn't actually doing anything other than staring at an open laptop with no intention of doing work. So when I was in the clear, I began to wonder what I was actually doing there. I already had my venti soy Java chip frappuccino sitting on the edge of the table, gathering enough condensation to form a ring of water underneath the plastic cup. It was at that moment when I began to write the very book you hold in your hands. Well, it's the 21st century, so you're probably listening to this on Audible or reading it from your computer screen, smartphone, or tablet. But either way, you have successfully entered my thoughts and will soon find out whether I'm not completely crazy or we share a deeper connection and connect on a level that is either creepy or fascinating in some way. Well, best of luck on your journey through the mind of a boy who changes his quite often.
I love it. What I love about it is that you're writing about things that I believe we all think about and feel even self-conscious of, but don't often talk about.
Yeah.
Like going to sit somewhere at a coffee shop. I know sometimes I like to just go to a restaurant by myself, especially if I've had clients and I've been talking all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice that I'll often bring a book or a newspaper that I have no intention of reading,
just
to look a little less awkward, so to speak. So when you read that, I was like, oh, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
it's one of those like satisfying books where it's just like stuff we don't say out loud, but it's things we do, you know?
Yeah, I love it.
That's why the title's Things We Do.
And yeah. I like your title so much. Where are you in this process? You're welcome with writing.
They're very short chapters. Like, I think the biggest chapter I have is 3 pages. Like, they're very just, like, quick, fun chapters that you can just speed through. I'm on the 4th chapter right now, so almost 2,000 words, basically.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And my sense is you'll write until it's complete, and you
I just, like, feel.
Yeah.
I might write another one, you know, and have, like, if I do write another one, the chapters will just be titled, like, if I had notifications as a chapter here, it would be, like, Notifications 2, something like that. Or a love will be a big one, because everyone has their own different thoughts on love, so I might have a different idea to talk about that.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So, love, absolutely. And I imagine your music, your writing, huge topic, has helped you work through issues around love.
Huh?
Around issues around love.
Oh, yeah.
Of love.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I noticed that in your songs, just the romantic, just the beauty.
I love romance.
I know, me too. It's amazing.
Yeah, and things that inspire me to really write music now, since I haven't really been in a relationship for a while.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that, like, watches those very sappy romance movies and TV shows to get inspiration for songs. And there's a song I just wrote, and I got the idea from watching the movie Good Will Hunting.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
And it's my favorite scene where Robin Williams, his character, who's like a shrink, is talking about his wife that passed away. Mm. But he's talking about when they first met. And he's also talking about all the little things that made him fall in love with her. So it wasn't just her, how beautiful she was. It was all the little things that they would do together.
Yeah.
So the song is called The Little Things. So usually my old songs would be personal experiences, and they would be so little in my experience through them. But then I realized, and Phil Swan is a songwriting teacher at my school, and I love this. He says, these songs aren't for you. Of course, they might help you, but the song's for everyone else to listen to and engage with. And so I was like, I need to start writing stuff that's not just for me and that other people can relate to. So that's when I started to be creative and create my own, like, kind of love stories and turn them into songs.
I love that process.
Yeah, and it's so fun. At first, it was very difficult.
I'm sure.
Because it's easy just to, like, talk about yourself in a song,
right.
You know?
Right.
But then to, like, observe everything else. And sometimes when I listen and to music or watch movies, I try to connect myself to the characters so that I actually feel what they're going through, like, the different scenes in the movie. Like, when some people are, like, yelling at the screen, even though it's not going to do anything. Like, like in a horror movie, like, no, don't turn left, and stuff like that.
Right,
like,
right.
Really connecting with that. And that helps me write these songs.
I bet it does.
Yeah. So, would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it, John. Right. Yeah.
So, I just wrote it, and do you think you can add some reverb?
Sure.
Yeah.
Do I turn up...
I said one of them. I don't... I think it's one of the knobs.
Okay, tell me.
I think it's...
Is that it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, woo! All right, and I just wrote this song, and, like, I finished it last night.
Cool.
So I love raw stuff. Most of my YouTube videos are songs that, like, I wrote right before filming.
I love that about them. Yes.
Yeah. So this is, like, I would probably change this song later on, but I love to just show people the writing process. And this mic's on, right? Yeah, all right. This is The Little Things, and we'll talk about it after. Talk until we fall asleep.
when you smile after we kiss. When two hearts beat in sync, all the little things I miss. When you press your face against my chest, the vibrations felt as you left. When I say I love you, know the rest. Sadly, all the little things are in the past. You might think I'm crazy for your figure, when in fact it's much simpler. You might think I'm jealous of the man who calls you mine. No, he's just fine. He's just fine. No, it's the little things you do. It's the little things you do. Met a girl and she's alright, but our differences are vast. Lack of chemistry can awake the dumbest fights. All the little things she doesn't have. You never tugged at my jacket when you needed it. I just drape it over your knees. But now you're shaking in that dress, and he's so oblivious. All the little things he doesn't see. You might think I'm crazy for your figure, when in fact it's much simpler. You might think I'm jealous of the man who calls you mine. No, he's just fine. He's just fine. No, it's the little things you do. It's the little things you do.
And then use the bridge that I just wrote last night.
Times you would hold me without my consent. You're fighting for me until we'd see the end. But I was so clueless, I never could see all the little things you did for me. You might think I'm crazy for your figure, when in fact it's much simpler. You might think I'm jealous of the man who calls you mine. No, he's just fine. He's just fine. No, it's the little things you do. It's the little things you do. Little things you do. Little things you do. Little things you do.
Yeah.
Johnny, that was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You had me tearing up in the beginning just because it's so people that I know I'll never forget, and I think anyone listening, that mm-hmm. they're just individuals we never forget certain things.
Yeah.
It was emotion. It was beautiful. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good. I mean, I think emotion is a powerful thing for us
definitely,
to feel and connect
definitely.
With. The music is such a vehicle.
Yeah. Like, wow. We shouldn't be afraid to experience and express our emotions. A lot of people hold in their emotions, and that's actually what started. I have anxiety, by the way, and I love to talk about openly talk about mental health.
Yeah.
And I talk about in my EP, it's it's called I because it's stuff that's very personal to me.
Yes.
Like mental health, bullying, my parents, just stuff like that, mm-hmm. and faith. And I just talk about all this, and it's just, yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So we're coming to the, we're at the end of our time together, okay. unfortunately, because I'm loving this experience. Thank you yeah. for coming in the studio. What do you want to leave us with? Leave our listeners with today.
I love to preach to be yourself. I preach individualism because I'm an individual, and to be a free thinker. Of course, it's great. Oh, it just changed. It's great to listen to your parents when it comes to rules and things like that. But when it comes to things you want to do in life, really, really think, like, look inside yourself mm-hmm. and think of things that you want to do. And hopefully your parents will be as nice as mine and willing to let me follow my dreams.
And if not, yeah. I think it's up to forging our own paths. And hopefully yeah. parents, loved ones, seeing us happy,
yeah.
then get on board. If there's a listener out there that doesn't have the kind of support that you've grown up with,
yes.
I think
yeah.
when we are following our passion, that others follow in suit.
Yes, definitely.
Johnny, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having
me. It's
been
so awesome.
My very first interview.
Awesome. Woo!
Woo!
Johnny Mace on iTunes, YouTube, Spotify. Your EP is called I, the mm-hmm. letter I, mm-hmm. Johnny Mace. I hope to hear lots more of you
thank
for
you
years
so much.
And years to come.
Thank you so much for having
You're
me.
You're welcome.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir. Only.